Hello and welcome to this, our service from the Church of the Epiphany for Sunday, July the 28th. Our last service broadcast before we're back to church on September the 8th. We take a break from services for August. But the board gently reminds us expenses go on even while we have a break. The flowers in the sanctuary today are to the glory of God and in loving memory of the Knight family given by Bruce Jackson. And Sunday, we are having Jeremy Smith, our own John Denver, at 2 o'clock, only $10, and we're going to have coffee hour in the basement afterwards. And there's going to be a trivia night to buy lights for the hall, and that will be October the 12th. Mint smoothies, Sandra has those, $3, proceeds to the work of the church. Our Bishop Todd visits on September the 22nd. There are three ways to support our church: volunteering at events, generosity, prayer, and our church is a team. Meat and veggie pies are available, $5, makes a great meal. And our food cupboard continues to do much good work, thanks to Butch, our manager. Phone number there for any requests or donations. And there's a list of possible donations. Come for lunch any Sunday at noon after church. Craft Club, third Saturday of the month, including August at 10 a.m. Everyone's welcome. It's a fun time of conversation and working together on a project. Gloria Thompson collects canceled stamps, rinsed empty drink containers. Dan Davies collects those. And if you wish, our regular weekly donations or special donations could be sent to our envelope secretary, Barb Smallman, and her address and phone number are in our email. And now, the opening of our worship. Holy Wisdom, you granted Solomon's request for an understanding mind and the knowledge to discern good from evil. Fill us with such understanding and knowledge that we may act as instruments of your loving desire for creation, working with you to transform our conceit into concern for others, our fear into love, our violence into peace, our brokenness into wholeness. Amen. And our reading, Jesus feeds the 5,000 from John. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called Sea of Tiberias. Large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down with his disciples. Now, the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not be enough to buy bread for each of them to get even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish cake, but what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to those who were seated, and also the fish cake, as much as were they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up. And from the fragments of the five barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had yet to come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. And now a sermon. So this old prospector came into a saloon in the olden days and ordered a glass of milk with a shot of whiskey in it. The bartender was fixing his drink when the old prospector wandered over to speak to his friends. Before he came back, another man came in wearing a black threadbare coat. He walked up to the bartender and said timidly, "Sir, I'm a poor traveling Methodist preacher. Just made across the desert. I'm bone dry. Could you let me have that foamy glass of milk I see you've just poured?" "Take the milk," said the bartender with a twinkle in his eye. "We're glad to have you in our town. Take that glass of milk and drink it up." The preacher drank that milk with the whiskey in it really slowly, savoring every drop. And then he looked up toward the ceiling and with a smile on his face, he declared, "Lord, what a cow!" This morning, we want to think about the bounteous goodness of God. And we want to say, "Lord, what a bounteous God." Our text tells the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's a marvelous story of God's provision for human need. You know the story well. A multitude of people had come out to hear Jesus teach. And many had probably come hoping for the miracle of healing. Some came doubtless out of curiosity. "How shall we buy bread for all these people?" Jesus asked his disciples. For he knew that though we cannot live by bread alone, we cannot live without bread either. The disciples were able to scrounge up only 200 denarii, not enough to even begin to feed this mob. Andrew came to the rescue. He said, "Well, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish cakes. But what are these among so many? It can't be done." Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." And the boy, you see, gave his whole lunch, all he had. We experience the bounty of God, first of all, when we take the time to sit down, as we are this morning at church. When we experience the bounty of God, when we're not afraid to give like the child, giving his food when he was hungry, the only one generous enough, caring enough to share all he had, then we experience the bounty of God. Someone from Hawaii was once speaking on prayer to a seminary audience on the mainland. "Before the missionaries came to Hawaii," she said, "my people used to sit outside their temples for a long time meditating, preparing themselves before entering the temple. They would then go to the altar to offer their petition, and afterward again would sit a long time outside to breathe life into their prayers. Then the Christians came, and when they came, they just went up, uttered a few sentences, said amen, and were done. And for that reason, my people called them without breath, or those who failed to breathe life into their prayers." If we think about it, we realize that we rarely set aside time to breathe life into prayers. We're so busy doing, so rushed in worship even. So let's remember to slow down when we're here at church or in worship. Take the time to breathe life into our prayers. Well, when we shut God out of our lives, we too shut out the very one who can meet our deepest needs. For you see, God's greatest wish is to provide. God's very nature is to give. God is love. Love is always giving. If we're not receiving from God, the problem may be on our end, for he is a giving God. "Make the people sit down," Jesus commands his disciples. And then he takes the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed the loaves and then these fish to all who were seated, as much as they wanted. So also do we receive God's blessing when we sit and wait. Notice, finally, how John concludes the story. "So then they filled 12 baskets with the fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign, the miracle of there being more at the end than at the start, they said, 'This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world.'" One of the lessons Christ tried to teach was the extravagance of God. God is a God who provides in abundance. Most of the worries that beset us would disappear in a moment if we could lean back, rest ourselves on the extravagance of God's provisions for His children's needs. All of nature testifies to God's bounty. Consider our universe. Did you know that if you could bore a hole in the sun and somehow you could put in 1.2 million Earths, you would still have space left over for 4.3 million moons? Galileo once put it this way: the sun, which has all those planets revolving around it, depending on it for their orderly functions, can ripen a bunch of grapes as if it had nothing else to do in the world. And it doesn't. God has brought into being a magnificent creation with the sole purpose of providing for His children's needs. Isn't that mind-boggling? Why such extravagance? Why such bounty? Why such extra? Generations ago, John Spencer offered an interesting theory on this matter. He noted that the Jewish rabbis taught that when Joseph, in the time of plenty, had gathered much corn in Egypt, he threw chaff into the river Nile. His purpose was to convey, by means of the flowing river, to cities and nations more remote, the good news of the abundance laid up, not for themselves alone, but also for others. So God, writes Spencer, in His abundant goodness, to make us know what glory there is in heaven, has thrown some husks to us here in this world, so that, tasting the sweetness thereof, we might draw out this happy conclusion to the great comfort, that if a little earthly glory do so much amaze us, what will the heavenly do? If He give us so much in the land of our pilgrimage, what will God not give us in our own country? It reminds us of the old story of two fellows who died and were walking the golden streets of God's celestial realm. There was more beauty and more splendor and more joy than they had ever dreamed imaginable. And one of them turned to the other and said, "Isn't this wonderful?" The other replied, "Yes, and to think we could have gotten here 10 years sooner if we hadn't eaten all that oat bran." God has so many blessings to pour on us all. He asks us to sit down and receive what He has to give with extravagance. Amen.
Thank you.
The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He'll come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray. As you heard the prayer of Isaac and Rebecca, O God, and guided them in the way of your love, so listen now to those who call upon you. And we pray this week for Debbie, Jamie, Jackie, Paul, Suzanne, Peter, Kenny, Jim, Norma, Dave, Peter, Dan, Mike, Scott, and Lisa, Roger, Maxine, Wendy, Eric, Beverly, Sarah Jane, Linda, Jackie and Cam, Janice, and Darren. Move us to praise your gracious will, for in Jesus Christ you have saved us from the deeds of death and opened for us the ways of your love. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. And this is a prayer based on Scripture today. Source of life, you feed us with the spiritual milk of your love and deliver us from the darkness to light. Encompass us in the circle of your protection, that secure in your sustaining power, we may find the wisdom and strength to challenge the evils of our time. Amen. And a blessing from the Book of Common Prayer, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. And now our parting blessing song. Thank you for worshiping with us. We'll see you again September the 8th.
Him and walk in his way. May his